T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Odyssey is giving you a chance to win a trip to London to see Taylor Swift at the Eras Tour. It's Tay in the UK.
Hey, it's Taylor.
Just download the free Odyssey app, log in and listen to a participating station for a minimum of 60 minutes to get your daily entry. And you could win a chance to fly off to London with 3 friends and see Taylor.
I can't wait to see you at the Eras Tour in London.
For more, go to odyssey.com/Taylor. Tay in the UK.
It's on the Odyssey app.
Thanks to Republic Records.
This is a national contest.
What's up? It's your boy, The Ben Smith. Thanks for listening to the Men's Room Daily Podcast. Want more? Check out the greatest podcast in all the land, The Podcast. Be sure to subscribe and listen to a brand new episode every Tuesday night.
Back to the conversation. This is the Men's Room with Miles and Thrill. 99.9 KISW.
Tasty and delicious. Men's Room Original Ale is back. We brought back the OG, the beer that we first started with Elysian Brewing Company before Men's Room Original Red. And in the spirit of the ale, only making some small batches and only serving on tap at a few locations, restaurants, and bars. And those locations, by the way, were selected because they sold the most Men's Room Red. And they helped raise the most money for the Fisher House. So, of course, a portion of the proceeds from Men's Room Original Ale will go to our friends at the Fisher House as well. The complete list of all the bars and restaurants that are carrying the beer is available now at KISW.com. If you want to watch the Hawks game and you're down near my neighborhood in Fremont or anywhere close to that, the Dock Sports Bar is a great place to go watch the Seahawks. And they have Men's Room Original Ale on tap. And Talarico's in Fremont also has the beer. And they've got great pizza and they'll have the game on as well. So if you want to watch
the chips down the dock, huh?
Oh, man, I'm thinking pack-in. I'm thinking pack-in. All right, pack that's in. All
I was
like, sorry.
I was getting chicken wings, get cheese curds. I love the dock.
Well, stop by pack-in, get the fish and chips, then head on to the dock.
Yes.
Our question, what is the animal that injured you? 206-421-ROCK.
As we're talking about this today, I'm scrolling through some stories on the interwebs, as they were. And are you guys familiar? I know you're familiar. The pacu fish. P-A-C.
That is the one that is typically in South America and has teeth on it that look like a human being. And there have been instances where people have gone to take a bath in a river and come back out without their testicles.
That is correct. So they say the pacu, a type of piranha fish noted for its, quote, human-like teeth, usually found in Amazon River Basin. However, we go to Sweden, where a fisherman just caught one of the fish that is also known as, quote, the ball cutter. Anyway, some scientist there says, hey, listen, they're largely vegetarian. They rarely bite people. The problem is testicles sit nicely in their mouth. And if they see something dangling, they bite it. It's not like they bite your testicles. They bite your testicles off.
Oh, yeah. Off. The mouth of this fish looks like a human being's mouth.
Yeah.
I mean, if we had a really, really nasty grill. I mean, it's
so like a meth head, but he still has all of his teeth.
It's insane. What is the animal that injured you? 206-421-ROCK.
Hello, Ed. Welcome to the Men's Room.
What's up, my brothers?
Hola.
Hola. It's Sticky Icky Ed here. You didn't put that in there.
What is up, Sticky
Icky
Ed?
Well, I did not know that until we heard your voice.
Yeah, exactly.
My ESP has been a little dampened by my weed use.
We should have known since you're the only Ed in the area.
You know, that is a good point.
Yeah. Yeah, they're right in the middle of a bong hit when you switched me on, so you got me back.
Whoa, what happened to you, man?
Shocking.
Okay.
But hey, this happened to my mom. She was scratched by her cat. 2 days later, she became deathly ill. She had to go in an ambulance, get to the hospital. The next day, they do all these tests, and then comes back, she has cat scratch fever.
Get out of here. Like the Nuge?
Yeah.
Just like Ted Nuge.
Oh, yeah, exactly.
So what exactly happened?
It was so bad that she was in the hospital for almost 2 weeks, had to be put on a ventilator.
Is it like a bacteria in their claws, or what exactly happens if this cat scratches
it? It comes from their stool.
Okay.
So it's underneath their claws. So if you ever get scratched, clean it right away. Otherwise, it could happen to you.
Absolutely. And another side effect of cat scratch fever is you begin to wear camo hats and shirts and jackets.
And dodge the draft.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. What is the animal that injured you? 206-421-ROCK.
Hello, John. Welcome to the Men's Room.
Hola.
Hola.
and James are doing today?
Doing great, man. Thanks, John.
Good to hear. So I'll keep it short and sweet. I was like 8 years old, and we're at a family barbecue. There's maybe people there. There's a lot of people. I have a big family. And there's a hill that was sitting in the backyard by where we were barbecuing. And my brothers and my cousins are all rolling down the hill having a good old time. And I'm watching my brother, and all of a sudden he stops halfway down the hill and just lets out this piercing scream. Like screams. And he looks straight. Yep, just like that. And all of a sudden there's like 50 yellow jackets attached to him.
Oh. Like,
yeah, he got his foot stuck in the net.
Oh. Older brother or younger brother?
Younger brother.
Okay.
How old? He was like 5 at the time.
So I'm assuming these bees now move on to other targets that are at the barbecue in the backyard.
Oh, yeah. Because they noticed we were barbecuing. So they go for the meat. They go for the parents. They go for everybody. They go for all the cousins. At one point in time, I'm hiding under like a blanket with a swarm of bees over my head. And my aunt's just squeezing me half to death, trying to like keep me safe and almost killing me in the process. And I wound up with like only like 10 or 15 stings. But my brothers... my brother had like 35. I had another cousin who got like 35 stings. It was terrible.
How long does the swarm stick around? So once they decide to attack the family barbecue, is this a 20-minute process? Is it 5 minutes? What?
It took about a half an hour to clear everything out. It was my dad, my grandpa, and a couple of the other men that were at the house. They just went straight to the nest and tried to drown them out as quickly as they could and bring the attention to them. So... Well, see, I mean, at one point, there were four dudes running across the field trying to get away from them.
To me, it's timing. You know what I mean? Like, you could be out all day doing, you know, whatever you're doing. Maybe you're baling hay or cutting grass or whatever. You know what I mean? It's just, it is what it is. It's circumstantial. You get stung by a bunch of bees.
Sure.
But you didn't have barbecue ready to go, like, within an hour. You know what I mean? It's like...
Right, you had nothing to do.
It's like you're going to have sex, and all of a sudden...
You get stung by
10 bees sting you. Like, you were so close, you know what I mean, to just getting...
No, this is about to come off the grill, and the bees ruined everything. The wasps ruined the whole...
That's what I'm saying.
And
barbecue's not like, I'll just throw it on, I'll see you guys in an hour. Somebody got up at 4 o'clock in the morning, or they were up at midnight.
Yeah, you're putting in the work.
Right, exactly.
So how did they ruin the meat? Were they dead on it? Did they sting it? Like, what do they do to your meat that's grilling or barbecuing?
Well, they're carnivorous. So they actually, like, swarmed the meat. So they're, like, we couldn't even get access to it because half the swarm was, like, attacking all of the stuff on the grill. Like... They were trying to carry it off is what it looked like. They were just eating it.
Yeah, I don't blame them.
Yeah, I mean,
what would you do?
I don't fault them for that.
Yeah, I can go around stinging more people, but man, oh man, are those ribs? Those are our ribs. Is that another beaver? What's the animal that injured you? 206-421-RIDE.
Someone here says, I worked at Point Defiance Zoo with camels, and I had a camel bite my boob, and it wouldn't let go. Had a bruise and a split nipple for weeks.
Oh.
That's a weird explanation. Like, hey, baby, I know we're about to get down and dirty, and I hate to be this guy. Like, what's up with the nipple? Ah, bitten by a camel. Nothing to worry about. I would just have so many questions.
Yeah. It's kind of exotic, though.
Does that turn you on? Like, ooh, tell me more. Camel split your nipple.
Yeah.
Wow.
Okay, you're into camel stuff.
Mike. What day is it?
I mean, look at the camel likes it. I like it too.
Yeah. Well, the Sumatran tiger. Do you hear about
Point Defiance Zoo?
Oh my God!
They're not having the best luck.
No, they aren't. I want to say that there was a female who was around 5 years old or something like that, and they have successfully introduced these tigers to each other, either so they can mate or just, you know, cohabitate together in the same area. There were two that they had not done that with, so they had them separated. So they had a 2-year-old male and a 5-year-old female. I believe those were the ages. Anyway, they kind of put them close to each other in proximity so they can get a whiff of each other and just see how their mannerisms are and their behavior and everything else. And then once they feel like, okay, I believe these guys know who each other are and they're, you know, they're copacetic with each other, we'll introduce them. Well, they introduced them, and the 2-year-old male just killed the other one in a matter of minutes in the zoo.
This would be like you setting up a blind date, and then the guy that you suggested date your female friend kills her.
They've successfully done this many times before. This just was not one of those guys.
With this tiger?
No.
With her.
Yeah, whatever. It's crazy.
He's kind of like the Tillamook of the killer whale world.
Because I'm wondering, how does it said like the headline was like, tiger dies, gruesome death, blah, blah, blah. And I'm like... what beats up a tiger? You know what I mean?
Another tiger.
Aha.
Uh-huh.
Who's bigger?
What do you mean?
Like, male lions are bigger, but the females do all the hunting and stuff.
Right.
So I'm like, with tigers, is the male, are they about the same size? Like,
I don't know, but I just assume the male's bigger.
A Sumatran tiger to me looks like a Bengal tiger on a smaller scale.
Right.
So they don't look like they have the same size.
Well, the Bengal tiger's the largest, right?
It just looks like their pattern, their stripe pattern looks like a Bengal tiger. I mean, it's not that they're not big. I mean, these are big-ass cats. I just don't think they're as big as a Bengal tiger.
I don't speak tiger. So, like, did they get together?
They're great.
And, like, they started growling at each other, and maybe he took her as a threat? I don't know. It seems weird. You're sitting in a room, somebody shows up and have sex with you, and you end up killing them.
Well, yeah.
I mean, I don't know if it's laid out that simply for the tigers themselves.
Yeah.
But, hey, you're here to have sex with her. I think if he had known that, they'd be buddy-buddy. I think he did not know that, and that was the problem.
But more so than, can you all just live in the same area? You know what I mean?
Like, yeah, so we all just get along,
so
right?
So we have like a little safari park just for the Sumatra tiger. Can we put them all in there and they will all
no.
Cohabitate?
The answer is no.
Well, I mean, look, it happens in jail, right? You put humans in it, you're not going to like your celly.
Yeah, yeah, I mean, that's true. But you don't slowly introduce him. Like, he's three cells down, right? You've been talking to each other through the walls.
I can smell his farts.
And on this day, I'm going to put him in the cell, and the first thing you do is kill his ass.
The guy that snores every night keeps you up.
Right.
What's the animal that injured you? 206-421-ROW.
Well, then I would be the dead tiger.
Yeah, that makes sense. Hello, Paula. Welcome to the men's room.
Hola.
Hola.
Well, I've been bit by all kinds of weird animals, but I haven't really been hurt by most of them, but my two little Jack Russells got a hold of a feral cat in my yard, and I sort of had this moment like, oh no, I have to deal with this. And, you know, I have a great deal of respect for cat bites and scratches, but I dove in there and I pulled them all apart, and I got a bite, just a single little puncture wound in my hand. And I washed it out, and I woke up in the middle of the night, and it felt like my arm had been run over by a vehicle. You know, it was getting infected and swelling up. I mean, it was just the tiniest little puncture wound, but, you know, I kind of expected it. So had to go to the doctor, and, you know, it took a few days, and I was in bed. I couldn't do anything but just sit there and
Paula, was it cat scratch fever or was it a rabid cat?
I don't think it was either. I think they're just like monitor lizards. They just bite you and then you get infected and then then you die.
Paula. Most of us don't track with your typical monitor lizard bite.
They're just like the Moroccan horse bat.
But now we know. But we did not know that before. Now, Paulie, you deal with all kinds of animals all the time, right?
Right.
So as far as that goes, and I know you are very respectful of animals. You've had your attacks, your bites. But of all the animals that you have dealt with, which one of those would you be most wary to deal with again?
Well, horses, you know, they're just the biggest and they do crazy stuff. And I still have horses. And, you know, I mean, they're fine, but I've felt the breeze from a hoof flying past, you know, just a couple inches from my face.
Is there something that provokes that?
So no matter how long you have a horse, you're saying you could never let down your guard.
Well, I mean, you let down your guard, you know, because they are decent most of the time, but they can spook, and, you know, they weigh a lot. And when they're in the right mind, they try not to hurt you, but a lot of times they're just kind of out of their mind. And, you know, I've had horses for years, and I've only had a few things happen. I've never had anything broken. But, you know, when you know horse people, you know people with stories and, you know, people.
And long hair.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they always have long hair.
Horse people.
It's always the same length. And they draw horses, too. Not only do they ride them.
Right. They must draw them.
With pencil to draw a horse. Yes. There's a pack of wild zebras still on the loose in Maryland. And they can't.
PG County.
Not only can they not find them, which is insane to me. When they pop up and they get a report of them, by the time the people get there to try to figure out what to do, they're gone. So this has been going on now for almost 3 weeks.
Where do they think they came from?
Oh, they were somebody's pet. Like they had them.
Plural.
Correct. Because there's three of them.
There's, that's okay, so there's three.
Three, right? I'll tell you this much. I know that area. My buddy Bernie, his company, his landscaping company, like he ended up buying a farm from a dude down there, which is why, that's why I saw the wild dogs.
Oh, yeah.
I keep texting him. He's like, oh, trust me. Because his property's big enough so like you can hunt on it. And he's like, if we see him.
We're taking him out.
Oh, yeah. If you hear about those zebras going down, you know what happened.
Apparently, zebras are real bastards, man.
Are they?
And again, you go to the World of Disney, you know, for some reason, that's like everyone's introduction to animals. Very misleading. And then you watch the nature documentaries and you feel bad for them, you know, because everything that's a carnivore wants to eat them. Apparently, they're tasty. Apparently, if they're not in a situation where they're actively being hunted by a lion or something, like, they are the super bastards of Africa.
Yeah, I mean,
you just right. Everything I've read about them, like, these animals kind of suck. I mean, they look cool, but they're a-holes.
Yeah, like with horses, like, I don't know what it is. Maybe because there's a lot of people that ride them or whatever, but like I feel like people have this false sense of security with horses.
I'm not one of them.
I'm not either. And, like, you ever see a horse when like he starts digging his front? Like get away from that horse.
I will say the freakiest I've been around a horse. We were at Emerald Downs, and they brought us to the
winter circle. What were you wearing?
Out of ball gag.
Getting freaky. What's that horse doing here?
But whatever horse won, whatever race it was.
Oh, my God, that's terrifying.
They brought this horse in the winner's circle. And again, in my mind, it's like, dude, it's horse racing. There's a little teeny tiny jockey up there. This would be a cool thing. So they bring this horse in. And now I'm looking at the sheer size of this horse. I have seen horses before. I have never seen a horse this big in my life. Mm-hmm. Then I realize every vein is bulging out of it, like Conan the Goddamn Barbarian. And the horse is a little restless.
Hot, little hot.
Right? His adrenaline is still going from the race, and I'm like, I'm going to move over here. I was very subtle about it, because the way we had this little circle.
There's no real fence. It's just like a little circle.
Because we were taking a picture with the owners of the horse, because we were there for like a men's room steak,
yeah,
right, which is a race. But right, when they bring that horse.
Not a horse dinner, men's room steak.
Right, when they bring that horse into that winner's circle, you're standing right there. Like, the last thing I want to do is be behind that thing.
I did not want to be near that.
No.
Like, this is a big ass animal.
If you do, and they do it before the race, too. And I've heard from a number of people, like, you can read whatever you want on the stats, but if you go down and watch all the horses as they bring them out, just by the look of the horse and how active the horse is or whatever, you have a pretty good, better chance of maybe winning some money.
I don't know this theory, but I will say this. The last time I was at Emerald Downs, it was like me, a couple buddies, my dad. And my one buddy and I, we went over and we looked at the horses every time. And we actually won a couple races.
Yeah.
So maybe it is true.
I don't know, but that's the word on the street.
And I don't know if there's any more of them, but if you go to a greyhound, a dog track, and you see one poop, bet them.
Bet on the
dog. That's the general theory.
They're lighter.
Yeah, I'm dead serious. He's all fired up. He's getting everything through his system. Yeah. That dog's going to win.
All right, because you know, man, if you're cramping up and you got one on
deck, you're right, dude.
And you got to run the race, and you're just like, man, I just got to poop. But if you got one out of you, man, it's like, all right, I can leave the house.
I can run free.
Right.
By the way, Ted says, or someone here says, the zebras, as far as not being able to find them in PG County.
Correct.
Natural urban camouflage. They're exactly right. They just wait at the bus stop. No one even knows they're there.
Yeah, I mean, they're in Upper Marlboro.
What's the animal that injured you? 206-421-ROCK.
Dude, I mean, that area of the country is so weird. I'm telling you, my buddy Bert, like, so his proper, this farm he has, right? He, like, takes care, so he doesn't own it. He looks after it, keeps all the stuff there. But literally, because on the end of it is a place called Suitland, which is a little more ghetto. But there's, like, I saw a wild pit bull chasing deer. Because there's wild animals, but then some people don't want their dogs anymore, so they just let them go on this property. But do you have, like, wild dogs out there?
Why does he want to take care of that property? I'd be like, you have another property I can take care of?
Oh, because it's awesome. And it's very hard to find.
If you property. Don't mind wild pit bulls.
Mm-hmm. Correct.
Yeah, no. I do.
No, thank you.
That's just me, man.
A dog that can kill you.
Hello, Rob. Welcome to the men's room.
Guten Tag.
Hola.
So my story is real quick. I got stung in the mouth by yellow jackets.
All right.
Sorry. How many stings to the mouth?
Four. I was about 5 years old. I was I lived in the South at the time. They're actually dirt daubers, if Miles knows what those are. But there was a swarm of them around the lake, and the older teenagers I was with convinced me to run at the lake with my mouth open.
Oh, my God.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
I thought you were going to tell me you drank something out of a can, like you're drinking a Faygo or something, and all of a sudden, zap, 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 because they were all in a can.
Nope. She, the, my great aunt beat the snot out of the two teenagers that were supposed to be watching me and then proceeded to take me to the hospital.
That is mildly funny.
Yeah, because you got to worry that maybe your throat would swell up or your tongue would swell up so much that... So how bad was it? Do you remember?
They gave me epinephrine and Benadryl and sent me home. The six-year-old me.
Okay. Well, at least they knew enough. And, yeah.
Damn, stung in the mouth. Like, I've seen people get stung on the lips and all that, but not, like, inside of your mouth.
Our question, what is the animal that injured you? 206-421-ROCK.
Yay! You're in the men's room.
Our question, what is the animal that injured you? 206-421-ROCK.
We got a comment here. It says, I got stung by a pus moth caterpillar when I was a kid in Texas. It's a poisonous caterpillar, and the sting felt like a cigar burn laden with stinging nettles.
Ooh. Pus what?
A pus moth centipede? Caterpillar.
Caterpillar.
Mm-hmm. Take a look at that bad boy.
Ah, they look cute. Or do they?
I don't believe
that
it does.
No, they don't. Oh, they look like an alien.
Jesus.
Good God almighty. That's a caterpillar?
Yep.
That looks like a dog.
It kind of does.
That's serious.
That was a weird looking thing. Mm-hmm. Hey, bro, you're not alone. VD, who works here with us, he sent us this story. A man who decided to strip off and have a nap on the floor naked after a hard day cleaning woke up to find a monster centipede, one of those big ones, latched onto his testicles.
Oh!
They say the unfortunate man from Taiwan, he's named in the press as Yi. He explained to reporters he was woken by sharp pain in his groin and quickly realized that the arthropod had sunk its mandibles into his scrotum.
Oh, no.
He said, quote,
oh, no.
I was shocked, and I initially wanted to slam a book down onto the centipede, but quickly realized why I should not do that. It continues, trying to pull the centipede off only made the pain worse, so in desperation, he crushed the creature in his fist, at which point it finally released its grip, but even so, Yi's intimate area was somewhat wounded, and he took himself to the hospital due to damage to his scrotum. Ended up getting patched up by medics that say up until that point, all was fairly standard, but then something very unusual happened. He was contacted by his insurance company and told he was entitled to a payout.
Really?
Believe it or not. Yeah. Huh. They said a representative from an insurer explained that a centipede bite was a highly unusual event. And in fact, 10 years with the company, she had not heard of a similar occurrence, but she said, look, his mishap qualified as an accident. That made him entitled to a payout for loss of earnings while he recovered.
I mean, if I'm a doctor initially, before I do the examination, and you basically tell me that you got bit on the testicles by a centipede, I'm going to go, all right, what were you really doing?
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, what were you really doing?
What were you doing with that centipede?
I mean, even if it's not a centipede, I'm like, okay, what other kinky thing were you doing? Like, did somebody bite you there? Like, what happened?
To be fair, this entire story is from his point of view, so he could have been, he was sleeping on the floor naked.
What's the animal that injured you? 206-421-ROCK.
Hello, Jackie. Welcome to the men's room.
Hola!
Hola!
Hey, guys. I was injured by my dog, and my ex-fiance was going to my storage to get some stuff out for the swap meet. I let my dog out to go potty. His leash got wrapped around my feet, jerked him out from under me, and I hit the pavement. Then I asked Jay to pick me up, and when he did, the ball of the femur broke off and splintered my femur.
Oh, Jesus!
Let's pull it in, Jay. Come on.
Okay.
I'm still recovering. That just happened a couple of months ago. I'm really having a hard time with it.
How much longer do they think you're going to be recovering?
Well, he said 3 months, but I don't think so. Mm-hmm. It's the hip feels okay most of the time. It's just where the femur splintered. They put some kind of titanium rod in there, and it just really hurts there a lot.
Dogs will mess you up. My uncle down in Florida, he gets up every morning at 6 o'clock, makes himself coffee, and then he takes his dog Chloe to the dog park.
Mm-hmm.
Now there's a group of people that go there every morning at the exact same time.
Yeah,
most of them are retired, whatever. They take the dog to the dog park and they all hang out. They have a little social club and they drink the coffee and the dogs run wild. Last time I was there was in May, but they said in the 6 months prior to that, or maybe it was a year, there had been two people who had MCL issues because those dogs start running. And a lot of them are big, and they just start looping around and doing circles and chasing each other. And they're not paying attention to anything, man. And they just came, and they took two people out. You know what I mean? And like, just running wild, having fun. But
there was a guy, we had kind of the same situation. It was after work, but same thing. About 6 o'clock, everyone shows up in his dog park. This is back in Baltimore. And a guy who's fairly new, he had a Rottweiler, okay? And while it was Yeah, maybe 9 months old, still a big, sizable dog. Well, one of the women that always walked her dogs on there, she had two Whippets, which if you don't know, especially a greyhound, make it half the size.
Yeah.
They are a fast, fast dog. So these two things would tear around the park, same thing, just make loops, and all the rest of the dogs are chasing. This is every day. So he's bragging about his Rottweiler. It's kind of a wet day that day. And these dogs, they come around to make the loop. And where we're standing, the Whippets, like, they are beelining straight for all of us, essentially. No big deal. We're used to it. They kind of run through us, but they run between this guy's legs, just the way he's standing. They run between his legs, so my dog, which is a big-ass shepherd, knocks him down. I mean, just because the dogs, they don't change course.
Right? No.
So they slam into him. My dog knocks him down. Before I can apologize or anything, his Rottweiler that he loves so much, these big-ass muddy paws, just runs over top of him. Literally, when he stood up, the footprints basically went from his knees up his chest, and then where his bald head was, there's like the back half of the dog's paw. I'm like, hey, the muddy prints of your dog, bro. Mm-hmm. I'm just letting you know.
What's the animal that injured you? 206-421-ROCK.
Hello, Beth. Welcome to the men's room.
Hi, how are you doing?
Hola. Doing great.
Okay, so I'll keep it short and simple. I worked for an exotic veterinary clinic for a long time. There was a bird. He was an African gray.
Oh, thank God. I thought you were going to say, like, you had to wear lingerie or something.
Right. Exotic. Oh, boy.
African gray. Veterinary clinic. And in the bird's file, is clearly stated that nobody was to handle this bird but me. He was kind of a jerk. What is it? Sorry, I have my three-year-old.
Just saying, you can hear the kid.
And the girl that was taking my place because I was moving, since the bird into the room, was not reading the file. She went to go put her hand out so the bird could perch. He went down and bit pretty much her finger off.
Oh!
From the third knuckle all the way down to the nail.
Jesus.
Mm. How big of a bird?
Yeah,
What?
African gray parrot.
African gray parrot.
African gray, yes.
Now, Beth,
they're huge.
At the time that you worked at the exotic veterinary clinic, like, what is the strangest animal you had to interact with?
An African tegu.
An African what?
A tegu. They're not African. I can't think of where they're from. But they're blue tegu, so they're huge lizards. They're probably about 3.5 feet in length.
All right.
And they're not very polite. They bite very hard, and they're not easy to radiograph. I've also radiographed snakes, which is not fun. It's kind of scary. I've anesthetized all kinds of animals.
That looks like a dragon, pretty much.
Yeah, it doesn't look like a nice animal. Good Lord,
no.
No, they're not nice at all.
Yeah, so why would anyone want to have that as a pet? How many people, I mean, like, at an exotic clinic, are you surprised what people own?
Sometimes, yeah. I've seen some animals where we've had to turn them away because we didn't provide care for those animals. Yeah. They weren't even supposed to be in the state.
Well, like,
I've handled monkeys, which was super illegal because I wasn't licensed to handle that type of wildlife.
You think about, okay, look, if you're a doctor, even if you're a brain surgeon or a heart surgeon, whatever,
yeah,
you have a designated specialty, pediatricians, you understand what type of doctor you are. But when you're a veterinarian that handles exotic animals, there's different just species. There are birds, there are reptiles, there are mammals, there are all these
different things.
So, like, as far as the knowledge that you, I think you would need to have, even if you're bringing in, like, a seal or whatever.
But what's the difference in the license you had versus my updated I can operate a monkey's license?
I'm just a vet tech, but in order to handle certain types of animals when it comes to being a veterinarian, you have to go to school for these things. You have to study it because their endocrine system, different, you know, their body's process things differently. It's like medications and things like that. I mean, just cats alone.
Everything.
Anesthetize things much differently than your dog.
I was going to say anesthesia. You know, just everything is different from a bird. Then it's different if you're going to operate on a bird. It's different than a cat. It's different.
I don't know. I just assumed, like, if you have your exotic license, somehow you've covered That's monkeys, what I mean. But I felt like it would all be included in it.
I just think there's so much more that you need to learn being a veterinarian in that situation than a doctor who's a specialist in his field. Doesn't mean he's not constantly studying his craft, but these are all different species.
Right,
you know,
right.
You're only dealing with one species as a doctor. A veterinarian, like, you got to know, you know, 50 different things, which to me, I mean, and you can't, I mean,
right. I'm sure she did the lizard, she also did a bird.
Yeah, a monkey.
Right.
You know, it's crazy.
Does anybody ever work on a fish?
I don't know if they care about fish.
I think fish, look, I don't know, but I would look at it like, you go to
PetSmart. Like, fish is sick, right?
Fish don't cost a lot of money, and fish rarely get the kind of burial that other pets get. Like, they get flushed down a toilet. I can't imagine taking my fish to the vet.
Could you say my Jack Dempsey and my Oscar?
Right, I mean.
Well, he's talking about it, but yeah, like, I guess you wouldn't operate on a fish because it needs water.
I'm looking at videos on YouTube right now. Fish surgery, parasite removal from a koi pond, fish surgery for cancer, tumor inside of a fish, bait of fish surgery.
Well, you know, those koi, they go for a lot of money. So I can see you investing into keeping those things alive.
Because they're pet, right. Or is it some company that has a koi pond?
Some of those are, 30, 50 years old. So if you've had one, you know, all that time, you might be more willing to save it.
And the other thing is they don't fit in your toilet.
Mm-hmm. And you can't eat them. What's the animal that injured you? 206-421 Rock.
Hello, Cody. Welcome to the men's room.
Liquor and whores. First time caller, long time listener. Just want to shout out my boy Blizz. But long story short, guys. So I lived on about a mile long road. That was a private road growing up, and we each had about like 5 acres of woods behind us. So my homies, we'd make dirt bike tracks, do airsoft, etc. One day, we're walking through the backwoods. We have our airsoft guns with us, and we see this nest. Turns out it was a black hornet nest, but we unload on it. And so I get stung maybe 3 times in my hands, a couple times in my face. I drop everything and just book it. I, like, just hear my friends screaming at the top of their lungs as they basically get stung to death. They didn't die. We all turned out fine, but moral of the story, don't shoot wildlife.
All right. Listen to that one.
Yeah, well, especially a nest that you don't know what's inside. Any nest, because you know what's inside if it's a nest. It's something that has a potential to sting you.
There was years ago, we were in the Bahamas, and I assume they were bees or hornet's nests. And, I mean, these things were massive. They're like 9 feet long, and they're hanging off these trees on the side of the highway. So, I mean, a native guy there, and I'm like, man, are you on? Because everyone just walked down this main road. And I said, dude, are you uncomfortable? Like, with all these bees, like, what are you talking about? And I'm pointing, I mean, there's multiple nests draped down the side. He's like, oh, dude, those aren't bees. I'm like, what? Says they're ants. I'm like, well, ants make their thing in the ground. He's like, well, these particular ants don't. I'm like, come on. So he takes a rock, he hits this nest, doesn't really destroy it, but it opens up the side. And, dude, it looked like smoke pouring out. I've never seen anything like it. It was just all ants. And I realized, like, this entire island is dominated by ants that make these hanging nests. It's weird.
I'd rather have them up there. Because I don't hang out in the trees. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, but I'm walking under.
But then they'll fall on you.
Right, that's true. That's true.
If you want to see a great reaction, I wish I had it on video. My parents finally bought a hammock. As like 30 years ago, whatever, man. My mom, I'm not living at home anymore, but she says, your father strung up the hammock. I'm like, oh, how did that go? Said, well, he was good till 3 caterpillars fell out of the trees on him.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I don't think he ever used it again.
Well, you're used to seeing ants on the ground. You step on them. They fall on your head. You're going to be freaked out.
That's it, man.
In Florida, it doesn't really happen in the Caribbean much because they don't get that severe of cold weather. But in Florida, they will put out a warning if there's a frost. Obviously, the oranges are in effect and everything else. But they'll tell you to look out for falling iguanas if you're walking in an area with trees
cold,
in the
right.
park. Because when they start to freeze like that, they just
they're huge
and they just fall out of the damn trees.
And by the way, Ted, you're wondering if people get surgery for their fish.
Does the fish go to the vet?
I mean, look. Maybe I'm heartless, they go in the toilet, but someone here says, my wife has worked to save a goldfish before. They feed flowing water through a tube through its mouth and proceed with the surgery. Someone else adds, there's a fish surgery. There's some fish that cost upwards of $1,000+ just to purchase. That's understood. Let's see. Saltwater fish are super expensive. A friend of mine had surgery done on a koi fish. Something about its swim bladder, I think. Yeah, so people do. I'm not one of those people.
How do you, what kind of container does one, you know, purvey to be able to take this thing to the vet? You know what I'm saying?
Same way you got at home.
Well, you know, you got a cat carrier or a dog carrier or whatever, you know.
Tupperware, man. Yeah. You Tupperware, know, goddamn yeah. well. So. Yeah, they dumped out last night's spaghetti, washed it out real quick, filled it with water, threw the fish in there.
That's what happened after I left out at your house at that party.
Yes.
Right. You know what I mean? Like, I know I lose Tupperware all the time and all my containers at somebody else's house, but that's what you do with it?
Yeah, sorry, man, my fish died in it. You still want it back?
I took my fish to the vet, and that thing you left here. What's the animal that injured you? 206-421-ROCK.
What kind of fish is this? Oh, do you remember the fish I used to have?
Yeah, that's it.
Yeah, I just deep fried them.
Hello, Aaron. Welcome to the men's room.
Hola.
Hola.
How's it going, gentlemen?
Doing well, sir.
Okay, so it was my birthday, and I had... Me and my son had this fascination with the Asian small clawed otter.
Why did you have a fascination with that?
If you Google this, if you Google image this animal, it's literally the cutest animal you will ever see in your entire life. Okay?
That means it's mean. Mm-hmm. So hang on, I'm going to Google the thing. What is it called? The Asian
small clawed otter.
Ah, yes. We go to Anchorage, where the Anchorage Press has lifted its paywall in a recent story to deliver a very important message to locals. Beware of aggressive river otters.
Mm-hmm.
Family's warning from the Alaska Department of Fish and Game came after a woman, child, and at least two dogs were attacked by otters in Anchorage. Because of the risk to public safety, efforts will be made to locate this group of river otters and remove them.
And Aaron, I'm looking at a picture of it now, and honest to God, that is a cute-ass animal.
So, I'm not going to say what city, because there's not a lot of places like this. There is, it's an amazing place, so I don't want to badmouth it, but there is an exotic petting zoo out here. And you can go and make an appointment and sit in a room with these things. Keep in mind, the people that run the place, they're kind of missing teeth, so that might have something to do with it. But me and my son, we were both viciously bitten by these things, and we probably won't try to pet them ever again.
Are they still cute when there's blood on their fur?
They're still cute. I mean,
right, well, hold on.
They're still like amazingly cute.
I gotta ask. You said you are both viciously bitten. So I'm assuming you're the father in this instance. You're gonna try to pet the otter first, right?
No, he tried to pet him first. Even though the lady said not to pet them, he still needed to pet them. And I mean, my shoes were kind of torn up a little bit because you're supposed to sit there and just let them crawl around you. But he just had to pet them, and they literally latch onto your hand and don't let go.
So when you tried to get the otter off of your son, is that when you got bit?
I was bit first, just on my shoes. I have a pair of Vans, and they literally put holes in my shoes. And so I thought that would have been warning enough. But he just had to pet them. I'm telling you, they're irresistible.
As soon as the damn thing, though, bit my shoe all the way through, I'd be like, it's time to get out of here, kid.
I like that you still dig these otters. Like, even with blood in the fur, but they're still cute. Mm-hmm. Bloody, but cute.
I don't. Well, if you go on YouTube, there's all kinds of people who actually own these things. And if you have them from birth, they seem as though they can be tamed.
They seem as though.
I think anything seems like it can
seems
be tamed.
Yeah. That woman with the chimpanzee in Kentucky.
Mm-hmm.
Connecticut.
There was another gorilla that passed away. Mother had been shot by poachers. And when they found...
Oh, I saw that. Yeah.
When they found the baby gorilla was still clinging to the mother. So this guy, he basically adopted this baby and raised the baby.
Mm-hmm.
So they were essentially best friends. So the gorilla... I guess maybe lived to be 14 years old, mm-hmm. I believe, and just passed away. But they have this photo because the gorilla died in the guy's arms. So I know that, and Mike, this
make you happy, Mike?
Probably doesn't touch you like? At all. Awesome. But you can just see how sad the guy was, and the gorilla didn't look like she was obviously not doing very well on the way out. You know what I mean? And you look at this photo, and you're like, it just seems so crazy
that you can have such a personal... I mean, look, everybody loves their dog. Some people love their cat. And you understand that bond, but to have more of that just a bond with... You know,
some people... I know what you meant, but it kind of seemed like a weird shot of cat people. You loved your cat.
You tolerate them. You know what I mean?
They tolerate you, you tolerate them. That's the agreement.
They're not at the door waiting for you. You know what I mean? They don't get upset when you leave. You know, they're not happy when you get home. They don't even care if you feed them. You know what I mean? Some do. Some get up in the morning and scream at you.
Sure.
Like Gomez used to do that. I'm like, I'm feeding you, dude. I'm feeding you.
And they sneak around. My buddies have a kitten named Potato.
Potato. All right.
But, like, we were out in the garage, you know, drinking beers, hanging out. And the cat came out in the garage. But then it's a cat. So it's like, within 2 minutes, like, where the hell did that thing go?
That is the problem.
Because it's like sneaking around. You know, a dog, you call it, it'll show up.
Yeah. Even when you don't.
The biggest fan of a can opener is a cat.
Oh, God.
I mean, you just use it as a practical application. Cat's like, can opener. Oh, my God.
That's something for me. I've never had chicken noodle soup like that. It's not for you.
What's the animal that injured you? 206-421-RIDE.
Ted, you'll appreciate this. We just talked to a guy named Aaron. Now let's go to Carter. Carter. Nice. Welcome to the men's room.
How's it going?
Hola.
I wonder if Aaron Carter woke up yet.
So I was out deer hunting with a buddy. A handful of years ago, and he had ended up killing one, and he, you know, obviously, like, we took off running after it, and it was laying there, stone dead, and you're supposed to, like, walk up and poke it or whatever, and I was standing on the feet side of it while he poked it, and then decided to give one more kick, and ended up hitting me in the, just above my ankle and fracturing my leg.
Oh, damn! Oh,
whoa!
Huh.
Yeah, I didn't know that it had fractured it, though, until probably a week later.
Well, you had to...
Swelling, it was swelling, it was, didn't go down, it was, you know, colorful. So I said, screw it, went in, and yeah, it fractured it.
All right, let me ask you this. How many pounds was the deer, would you guess? 125?
Oh, I don't know. 140, 150?
Because you got to drag that damn thing out of there. So you basically, how far were you away from your truck?
I don't know, probably like half a mile or so.
Well, I mean,
it was not the worst.
You fractured your leg, but you were able to drag a 140-pound deer out of the woods. That's kind of impressive.
Well, yeah, between two of us and him doing most of the work.
Okay, I can't do as much. My leg hurts. What's the animal that injured you? We've got your emails coming up next from the men's room at KISW.com.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Odyssey is giving you a chance to win a trip to London to see Taylor Swift at the Eras Tour. It's Tay in the UK.
Hey, it's Taylor.
Just download the free Odyssey app, log in and listen to a participating station for a minimum of 60 minutes to get your daily entry. And you could win a chance to fly off to London with 3 friends and see Taylor.
I can't wait to see you at the Eras Tour in London.
For more, go to odyssey.com/Taylor.
Tay in the UK.
It's on the Odyssey app.
Thanks to Republic Records.
This is a national contest.